Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. There it is. Lord, I take my pen to write to you a letter, knowing even now you know what's on my mind. But I think perhaps it might make me feel better if I see myself here written in a line. But as I close, I see a phrase I took for granted, and it leaps out as I see it written there. And as the truth of it begins to become planted, these two words have now become my heartfelt prayer. Sincerely yours, Lord, I sign my life to you. Sincerely yours, with a strong and honest wish to be the best that I could be. What I am, without a thought for me, Lord, teach me now to be. Sincerely yours, without a proud or selfish line. Sincerely yours, Lord, until there is no time, please make my life become a letter you could keep and never throw away. I'll write it till the day I become sincerely yours. Sincerely yours. Sincerely yours. Sincerely yours.
Hey, Deb, you feel like singing a song?
Hallelujah, I'm ready. I can hear the voices singing soft and low. Hallelujah, I'm ready. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go. In the darkness of night, not a star was in sight on a highway that leads down below. Well, my Jesus came in and he saved my soul from sin. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah, I'm ready. I can hear the voices singing soft and low. Hallelujah, I'm ready. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go. Sinner, don't wait before it's too late. He's a wonderful Savior, you know. 'Cause I fell on my knees and he answered my plea. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah, I'm ready. I can hear the voices singing soft and low. Hallelujah, I'm ready. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah, I'm ready. I can hear the voices singing soft and low. Hallelujah, I'm ready. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go. Hallelujah, I'm ready. I can hear the voices singing soft and low. Hallelujah, I'm ready. Hallelujah, I'm ready to go.
Thanks, Deb. Thank you, Debbie.
Let's look at Matthew chapter 7 together, beginning at verse 24. And let's pray together before we read the scriptures, shall we? Lord, this just isn't an exercise of reading a piece of literature. And it is literature that we're so grateful for, but we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Lord, we believe that this is the book you intended us to have. We believe that all scripture is God-breathed. And we have great reasons to know that. So we ask you to open the scriptures and help each of us today and challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built a house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not like their teachers of the law. Beautiful statement made by Jesus here. Hey, during the last presidential debate, boy, that was fun, wasn't it? I mean, the last presidential election, wasn't that fun? It was really strange, wasn't it? And all of the political stuff that was going on, even within the parties. And do you remember there were certain Republicans that were calling other Republicans rhinos? Remember that? That means Republican in name only. And they were accusing those people of having you know, kind of jettisoned what Republicans had originally believed and stood for, and now they're just rhinos. They're just Republicans in name only. Yeah. Glad that's over. Are you glad that's over? But, you know, I've done this a long time, and I have discovered, do you know, there's a lot of Christians in name only. Do you know that? I have found that a lot over these last years. You know, when I first became a Christian, I had a Disneyland view of the world. I thought, you know, you trust Jesus and everything gets easy, and it doesn't. I didn't like that part of it, but it was true, so I hung on, right? Or I say the Lord hung on to me. And as you get through it, you know, and then I remember watching church fights, and watching people who claim to be Christians act totally unlike Christians. And then I graduated from seminary and was ordained, and Debbie and I went in to the pastorate, and we've met thousands and thousands of people. And a whole bunch of those people would shock you if you saw their attitudes and listened to what they said and saw how they lived. It's really something. They were like Christians, like, in name only. I mean, how does this stuff happen? Jesus predicted it later on, and it's recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 13. Jesus tells a story of a farmer who goes out and prepares his field for planting, and he plants wheat in the field. But a jealous farmer, the enemy they call him, comes in late at night and sows weeds among the wheat. And when everything sprung out up, it first all looked like wheat until the heads were developed and they realized half of what was there were weeds. And the servants were really upset, those farmhands. And they said to the master, should we uproot them and, you know, pull the weeds out of here? And he said, no, if you pull up the weeds, you're going to destroy the wheat. so leave them until the day of judgment. You know, that's a real picture of the Christian church. There are both those who are real believers and those who aren't. Isn't that shocking? Especially when we live in a culture that says it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. And so here we are in this whole world. And then Jesus tells a picture of two people who build houses, but they build them upon different foundations. And to me, this is really interesting. I've thought a lot about it this week. I had some interviews this week with people. I mean, I'm not looking for a job. I mean, I interviewed some people. I mean, talked to some people about their lives is what I mean. So I'm talking to people this week, and to just find out the reasons why people are involved in religious organizations. I talked to a man who was red in the face coming to me, telling me how upset he is with all these people in his church. And I get that a lot. You know, when you've been a pastor for a long time, you get people from other churches coming trying to figure out, you know, how to deal with a problem. And a lot of the people that come to talk to me are just wanting to look how to manipulate those who are around them. And this guy was steaming hot. He had lost a political position in the church, and they took his name off the door of an office, and he didn't have that anymore. And I said to him, why is that important to you? Oh, it was. I said, really? So what's this whole church thing about with you? Well, he had been raised in the church, and you know, he'd always been part of that community. He kept using the word community. And I said, oh. So I buckled down and thought, I said, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, what do you mean? I said, have you ever repented of the fact that you're a lost sinner and without Jesus you go to hell? Did you ever think of that? And do you know that the Bible says that all of our righteousness, all of our pretended righteousness, is like filthy rags to him and none of it matters? Do you know none of this matters? You're all upset about a position now. What about your eternity? And he stomped out of my office. I gave it a shot. I thought, what the heck? Give it a try. You know, there's a lot of people that get involved in religious communities, in Christian churches. There are different reasons, not just because we need a Savior. That's just one of the reasons why people sometimes end up in a church. And they miss the main point and go for all the others. Sometimes there is that. I had a young man write me on the website which said he's looking for a sense of community. And I said, well, you'd be welcome to come here, and we'd like to tell you about a Savior. You know, some folks come because it's what's socially acceptable. A bunch of musician friends of mine, they know all the Christian jargon because they were raised in the South, and they had to go to church. I mean, if you were anybody in that town, you had to be at the Baptist church on Sunday morning, you know, with your tie on and singing those hymns. You had to do it. By the way, putting your tie on and going to church and singing those hymns is a great thing, but there's got to be a reason behind it, named Jesus, okay? Well, they kind of missed all of that, and to them, it's their culture. It's their tradition. I had some young dudes come one time. These young Hispanic kids were coming to church, and cracked me up. One of them's in the ministry now. I remember they came in here and they had all the happening clothes on, you know. Back then it was the nerd strings on the glasses, you know, and it was having your tennis shoes untied with no laces in them. And it wasn't the baggy pants thing yet. This is a long time ago. So I said, well, you know, where are you guys from? What's going on? And so after they came a couple times, I took them up to my office and I talked to them. And I just wanted to know, you know, what they were thinking, what was, you know, what they were looking for. I said, so really, what are you guys seeking? I don't know, man, this guy said. You know, we just kind of like to come and sing, he said. I said, oh, great, great. I asked the honest one, what are you here for? He said, man, they got really cute cheeks in this place. He told the pastor. He was here looking for girls. It cracked me up. And there are some really cute girls here, but anyhow. That probably is the one. It is the one in the ministry, by the way. The honest one, looking for chicks. That happens. People come for a lot of different reasons, right? Some people come because it's good for business. Ever known insurance salesmen? I got a bunch of good buddies that are insurance salesmen. They're good guys. But there's others that go to churches and become parts of churches because that's a whole new group of several hundred people that they can do business with. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. You know, it was good for business for one guy here in the book of Acts. His name was Simon. And Simon was heavily involved in the occult. So when the culture changed, he joined up. Let's start at verse 4 of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs that he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in that city and had amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Oh, it was good for his business for him to become affiliated with the church. Do you see that? To me, that's amazing. He believed, he gave assent to the fact that Jesus was who he said he was, but he never surrendered his life. He was there for one purpose, and that was to keep control over the people who had believed him before. And there's a lot of reasons why people do the religious thing. There's a lot of it. And what happens is, when people come for the wrong reason, when people take on the name of Christian for the wrong reason, something amazing happens. Instead of being foundational, the truth of Jesus becomes a facade. It becomes cosmetic. Sure about the lady that was in the hospital? Doctors told her she had only days to live. So she cried and begged God to give her more time to live. And the Lord appeared to her. And he said, "Betty, I've heard your prayer. I'm going to give you 45 more years of life." And as she recovered, she thought, "Well, I'm going to live 45 more years. I might as well get some work done." So she had a facelift. She had different augmentations. She went and bought an entire new wardrobe of clothing. And then she went to the salon and had a total redo. She looked at herself in the mirror at the salon and said, "I'm a whole new woman. This is incredible." She stepped out into the street and a city bus hit her and killed her. And she kicked open the gates of heaven, spitting mad, and said, "Lord, you promised me 45 years of life." And the Lord stood up and said, "Betty, is that you?" It's just a cosmetic thing. It becomes cosmetic, though, you guys. I mean, the whole faith about who Jesus is becomes something that we use. Have you ever tried buying a house? Debbie and I, we tried being landlords for a while. You know the problem with me being a landlord? I am the worst landlord in the world. We were taken so many times. We had places trashed so many times because we wanted to help people. And I can see why if you're a landlord, you turn into a jerk real quick because you get burnt so many times. It's hard to be compassionate, so we just sold it. But, you know, we like to look at houses. We went to look at a little house up north and in a cute little village, just a beautiful little, like it was a Victorian. It was just really cute. It was all put together. The colors looked great. It had great curb appeal. Just a little house, a little two-bedroom house. And we went in and, oh, man, the kitchen was new. Cabinets looked beautiful, new tile on the floor. The walls looked great as far as the colors and everything worked. We new appliances in the bathrooms, if you know what I mean. They'd redone that, and all that looked good. And then the sun was moving, and I looked at the drywall job. Man, something didn't look right. And I was standing in the living room, and I saw the floor did this, you know. And so I opened the door to go down to the creepiest crawl space I had personally ever been in. Those things don't usually super creep me out. I was creeped out. And you know what? This house was a disaster, and they had scabbed all this stuff together to flip that house. Whoever bought it, tiles are falling off walls, walls are cracking. I mean, everything's going to be going wrong with that house. I don't think it could have ever passed inspection. In fact, that's they were saying, you know, you got to buy it without inspection. You have to buy it the way it is. That's why the price is so good. We said bye-bye. There's just a cosmetic trying to fix a broken foundation. Just doesn't work. It really doesn't. You see, we don't need a facelift as people. We need a transformation. I'm the one that always said, Jesus did not come here to make bad people good. Jesus came here to make dead people live. Do you get that? We have to realize that. We come because we need an absolute transformation. And this is how evil people get into Christian organizations. Because they come for different, wrong, well, some reasons are legitimate, but they become the reason instead of a way of leading them into finding Christ. They get involved in those organizations, and they're just evil. Here's a book for you. Scott M. Peck, you know, the Road Less Traveled, he wrote a book called People of the Lie, after he had become a Christian, after observing depraved humanity for his whole professional life, became a Christian. And he wrote this book, People of the Lie, all kinds of people that just don't know anything personally about Jesus. They're just involved in an organization. I had that with a pastor. I had a pastor come to me to talk about things. And as I spoke to him about his life, I found out that he had never surrendered his life to Christ. And yet he had been a pastor. He came to see me with a tab collar and his little black coat. He looked adorable. He had a little Irish accent. I mean, he was like the perfect pastor type. Except he wasn't a believer. And I said to him, Pastor, let me ask you something. Pastor, if you die today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I'm not. I don't know. How can you know? And I showed him. Isn't that interesting, you guys? I mean, it's just, there are reasons, other reasons why people become religious. And there are other reasons why people make Christianity a cosmetic thing instead of a foundational thing. In the text we read, you'll notice something, just something beautiful in Matthew chapter 7. It tells you the test of faith. Our faith is going to be proved to be true or false based on the storms in our lives. It was Peter who talked about the struggles in the believers' lives. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine. Isn't that an interesting statement? Well, this is what he said here. He said, the man who builds on a rock, the foundation, the proper foundation, the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. What is cosmetic faith look like? Well, they build on the sand, and when those same storms come up, the place collapses. The tents fold. I want you to see, to both of these, the same storms came. And life's going to beat on you. It comes, the storm came and beat on that house. Do you see that? That's a normal thing that happens in a normal life to everybody. But to those who have the foundation of Jesus, well, they're showed that their faith is real. The storm will come. It's been such a joy for me to be able to see into believers' lives when they go through storms. When I went to see my friend Sandy, who's facing treatment for lung cancer, the family was really struggling. She was steady as a rock. You see, she believes that Jesus loves her. She believes that his promises are absolutely true and that he'll carry her through all of this, whether she lives or dies. I got to talk to Grayson before he slipped into coma last week. And I said to him, Grayson, what do you want to do? He said, Tommy, I want to go to heaven. I said to him, are you afraid? He said, it's my joy. And then I go to that house and I go to see him as he opens his eyes a little and can smile some, and he's gone again. But Anne, his wife, one of the sweetest Christians you will ever meet, she is a rock in that place. You want to know why? She believes that Jesus said, since I live, you will live. She's not afraid of the end. She says, he's the love of my life, and I never thought I would lose him this early. But she said, I know where he will go, and I know where I'm going to go. Because that was real faith in the real Jesus. So I've said all this today to say one thing to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this: examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. You see that? That's a question that only you can ask you and I can ask me. Have you trusted in Jesus? What I mean by that, have you turned your back on your past and turned to the Savior? Have you submitted your life to him and his authority? Have you done that? When we receive him, we become a child of God. And it's real, and it'll be real for you. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, stand with me. Let's pray, friends, shall we? Lord, you're the one who knows all of our hearts. And Lord, I don't mean to be heavy with my friends today. Lord, I got a bunch of friends of mine standing here with me today who always question whether or not they're truly a Christian. They struggle with paranoia. And I know this message is not for them. And they are okay. But Father, there's others of us who have just been raised in all of this or came to it for different reasons. We open our hearts to you. We ask that you would reveal to us our motives, and that you would help us to make sure that we have trusted in the Savior. That's the reason. He's the foundation of all things. Father, have we been using it cosmetically? We ask that you will help us. Friend, if it's been revealed to you that this has not been real to you, then trust Christ today. It's a gift that you would know that right now. invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Say to him, Lord Jesus, I submit myself to you and to your authority. You are King and Lord. Friend, have you ever seen yourself as lost? Without Christ, we are. And the only hope is him. So I invite you to invite him into your life today to be your Savior. Lord Jesus, I need you. Help me. Save me as you promised. Thank you for dying for my sin and being raised from the dead. Lord, thank you for our time together today. We ask for your blessing on God's people. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.